You're listening to the Support Ops Hangout, episode 42. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Support Ops Hangout. This is Monday, May 5th. Sorry for being off last week. There were, if you haven't seen the news, where I live was pretty much this just massive storm came through and dropped a couple of tornadoes. So that's where I spent my Monday afternoon instead of with all of you lovely folks. But we're back this week. Carolyn's still out. She partied too much at UserConf or something. I don't know. That's just what we're going to go with. But no, in all seriousness, she said she had a sore throat from giving an amazing talk at UserConf. Hopefully those videos will be up online, and as soon as they are, we'll make sure you get links to all of them. Back to today, this is your show all about customer support. It's all about making your customers happy and showing you some of the best practices and tips and tricks and that kind of thing. Today, we're talking about how to work with frustrating customers. These are the ones that, they're just not trying what you ask. They're not giving you enough information. They're just, causing some kind of headache for you somehow. And we've all been there. We've all done that. We've got the t-shirt. That's just kind of par for the course when it comes to customer support. So we want to talk about how you can work with them. I originally, when I put this topic up for all of us, I kept thinking about it in terms of like how to handle frustrating customers. But the more I thought about it, it's not that you want to like handle customers. That just kind of gives a wrong perception off. I don't think that's like the right phrasing that we want to use. So I tweaked that a little bit earlier this weekend and kind of come to this idea of working with customers. Because at the end of the day, look, they're on the same team that you are. You want to help them just as much as they want to actually use your product. So we want to make sure that at the end of the day, they're happy, they're fixed with whatever was going on or whatever, and they're back to using your app. So let's talk about how to work with them in these kind of situations. Our guest this week, I say guest, but like they're back for the show just about every week. So everyone say hi to Chase Livingston first. Chase, how goes it?
Hey, it's going very well. Glad to be here.
And then the amazing spout, who I heard this weekend at UserConf, somebody wanted an emoji of Jeff Vincent smile. I think it was Matthew from Campaign Monitor. I'm not for sure. But the ever amazing, wonderful smile, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. I can confirm that Carolyn is sick from partying way too hard. When last we left her, she had like the bottle upside down.
Oh, she's watching.
I know. As soon as she sees this, she's going to... it was Jeff. It wasn't us.
I'm going to get an email in about 30 seconds from her.
Well, cool. So let's talk about working with some frustrated customers first. And we'll start with you, Chase, on this one. Is it okay to be frustrated with a customer? We talk about being happy so much. So sometimes when I think about being frustrated with somebody, I kind of feel like that might not be appropriate, but it's how I feel. So what do you think? Is it okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think, frustration is just a natural emotion, just like happiness is. And so, there's always going to be customers or people in life that that frustrate you just because of, any number of things. So, it just happens. So I don't think there's any way we can necessarily avoid that. So it's just kind of, like we're going to talk about finding the best way to work through that and try to help those customers as best we can.
What say you, Jeff? Is it, at the end of the day, is it okay for me to feel frustrated with a customer, or am I doing something wrong at that point?
There was somebody at UserConf, another plug for UserConf, there'll probably be plenty. There was somebody who was saying, I think it was the Instacart guy who was saying, if you go and look at our company HipChat, there's never anyone who's, talking about being frustrated with a customer, or, there's never anybody saying, this darn customer just won't, help or whatever. I'm unsure how I feel, but I'm going to admit the fact that that is not the case for us. There are times when you're going to say, like, this guy just won't quit. Like, he just won't take the advice that I'm giving. He just won't try this. He just won't try that. And, I think it can be because some folks have to use us, but they don't necessarily feel 100% technologically comfortable with what they're doing. And so they feel at this, they feel like they're at a serious disadvantage, like a knowledge disadvantage, and that their only weapon is to just be really angry about stuff. I wouldn't say we get a ton of angry customers, but when we do, they tend to also be of the frustrating variety where it's like they're angry, and when you try to help them, they're like, don't even try helping me. I already tried that. And we're like, well, not. I don't really think you tried it, so maybe we could try it again, that kind of thing. I'd have to admit that there are definitely times where folks on my team are frustrated with a customer or someone who just, 25 tickets in a week or something like that. And I think that's part of life.
Yeah, I think, we're the same way. So, there are times where, you need to vent, right? You just need to vent about a customer who is making you pull your hair out because they're not doing what you ask, or they said that they turned off all their browser extensions when clearly the screenshot shows that they didn't. Things like that. And sometimes that ends up in our group chat. Sometimes it's, one-on-one between myself and somebody else on the team. But it's one of those where those tend to be, the good customers that I work with far outweigh any of the ones that are frustrating in any way, shape, or form. And really, at the end of the day, their frustration comes from the product not working for them for some reason. So it's a legit frustration on their part, which kind of helps me, feel better about me feeling frustrated too.
Totally. There are times when you need to separate the frustration from the problem that they're having, because we could say, hey, this is a legitimate issue. We should make this easier. You should always make it easier for them to accomplish what it is that they want to do, right? We should always make it more, one less click or one button that says exactly what it's supposed to be doing instead of the lack of clarity that leads to the email in the first place. But that doesn't mean that someone can't say, well, also, this person's kind of treating me like a jerk, and I'm frustrated about that. And if we made this, blanket rule that was like, I don't care if the customer's treating you like a jerk, you're not allowed to complain about it, it's still going to happen. It'll just happen internally, and then they don't get any support from anybody, and then they end up, just going home and being super pissed or something, taking it out on their significant other or something. I don't know what ends up happening to that anger, but it's got to go somewhere. So we prefer to talk about it, and it's awesome when you see conversations where someone's like, hey, I don't know how I got this guy so pissed, but can anybody, look back at this thread and tell me where I went wrong? That's awesome to see, where people are, we've accepted that it's okay that a customer's pissed at you, right, or frustrated with you, and it's okay for you to be frustrated back, and that there's we're not going to chastise you for getting in that situation. We're going to try to help you resolve it.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And we're talking about, at UserConf, the guy from Instacart, Scott, I think his name was.
He's really tall.
He was really tall. Right. The not college. No, he played basketball in college, I think, and not professionally, something like that. Anyway, it was kind of, it was this great idea to aspire to, right? So, there's never a negative word said about a customer in their chat. But I don't know how realistic that is, because like you said, it's got to go somewhere, right? You can't just, even if you do keep it all bottled up inside, that's just going to eat away at you and make you unhappy at your job. And that's going to lead, I would think that would lead to being burnout a lot quicker. It would feel like the rest of your team didn't have your back, that they said, you've got this problem, but you've got to deal with it. We're not going to deal with it as a group. Chase Livingston does with Automattic. Is there ever any releasing of that frustration or asking other people for advice on how to handle frustrating customers?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, times when we see that. Usually it's not super complaining or, bashing a customer or something like that. A lot of times it's just asking for advice, pasting the link to the ticket in and saying this customer's obviously upset with me. Have I said something wrong? What could I do better? That kind of thing. That's generally what the kinds of things that we discuss, amongst our team.
Yeah. So let's talk about, all right, so you've got a customer that's frustrating for whatever reason, right? So some hypothetical, their browser just isn't working right and they won't use a different browser and they're totally convinced that it's your fault when it's not. It's because they're using some crappy version of Internet Explorer 7. You're just frustrated with this customer. What do you do? What's your first step after saying, look, I'm frustrated. What's that next step that you do to kind of take back control of that ticket?
That's a good question. I think normally when this happens, I think I'd have to admit that it's very rare for me to like take a step back and be like, oh, okay, like what do I need to do? I normally am like in the flow of the email. So I might go back and read the thread and make sure I like fully understand what's going on. If someone is really frustrated though, I do kind of get snapped out of my like conversation mode where I'm just like, on to the next reply, like let's just jump back in there and keep going. And I tend to let them cool their heels for a little bit, right? I think we talked about this before on the show.
Time out. Like, email ticket timeout.
We have like a timeout mode where we let people sort of sit there for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour because sometimes like going back and forth, especially when, like I said before, you're the knowledgeable support person and they're this customer that's already feeling overwhelmed. It may feel on their end like you're just browbeating, right? You're just saying, nope, I know it's that way. Like, go back and look again. Like, that's how they're interpreting it. I also think at that point, if you send an email that's over, like, two sentences, they're not going to read it, right? That they're so angry that they read just, like, a little bit, and they're just, like, you know, whatever. They just, like, stop reading right there and start replying, which is how you kind of got the thread in the first place. It can be really helpful to just let the situation sit for just a little while, not like, you know, days or anything, but you let them cool their heels for just a little bit. And then just kind of normally I just sort of start it over, mm-hmm. right? I'm like, okay, I'm really sorry that you're frustrated. Like, I want to make sure that I'm, you know, being helpful to you. Like, here's the information as I know right now. Can we just start with something we agree with? Like, is this exactly what you're experiencing? And then they'll come back with, no, that's actually not what I'm experiencing. I was talking about this. And I'm like, oh, God, okay. All right, I totally got this wrong.
I like that. I like that kind of pause and then reset. Like, let's go back and start basics once again. So, Chase, yeah, kind of same question over to you. When you get frustrated with somebody, and this has got to be even more challenging with live chat, because live chat, you can't use the timeout method. You can't just be like, hey, wait for 30 minutes. So what do you do? Like, you know, somebody's complaining about their WordPress installation and it's just getting frustrating and it's all happening in real time.
Yeah, what Jeff said there towards the end, the kind of starting over, that is a big thing in live chat because sometimes you can kind of go down a rabbit hole, if you will, chasing an issue and, you know, just not getting anywhere with the customer, and they're frustrated that they're not able to find what you're trying to show them or things like that. And so definitely starting over and just going through things step by step with them. We use that a lot. And also, I guess we do have the advantage with OLARC to actually see their browser in real time and point things out and that kind of thing. And so I use that. I try not to have to use it too often, but when it's, you know, a situation where the user's frustrated and just we're not, you know, jiving on the issue, you know, I'll just jump in there and start pointing things out to them and maybe even, you know, doing some of the things for them just so we can, you know, come to an understanding and get the issue, you know, resolved quickly.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of those things that was talked about just a little bit at UserConf from one of the sponsors or education partners. That's what they call them, education partners. And the guy had this tool that basically lets you see a specific user's past 10 interactions with your app. So if they were saying, hey, I'm clicking the blue button, and you said you need to click the red button, then you could see exactly, oh, you look, you're saying one thing, but you're actually clicking the wrong button. Here's the one that you need to. It's borderline kind of creepy stalky, but at the same time, like, really helpful too.
Sure.
Not quite where I fall on that one yet. But you mentioned OLARC, you know, that co-browsing, that being able to see their screen and show them and walk through in real time has to, I would think that it would help diffuse that kind of frustration experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just about every time, I would even venture to say probably every time, unless there's just one I'm not thinking about, that really does help. And it usually is a really quick kind of end and wrap up to the conversation that just, you know, helps them out. And, you know, that's that.
Yeah, I could see live chat being really helpful when it comes to frustrating customer. Jeff, you know, you and I, we both tend to do email support primarily. Is there ever a moment where you're dealing with a customer that's frustrated and you're getting frustrated that email just isn't good enough?
Oh, totally. No, there have definitely been times when, you know, I've said like a screen share or a phone call would be great. I think to exactly what you were talking about a second ago, screen share can be really helpful when someone is saying that they're clicking like the blue button, mm-hmm. but maybe that they say I'm clicking the blue button that says share, and I know that it doesn't say share; it says something else on it. So I'm like, okay, somehow something I'm not understanding something. You're on the you're on a different page than I was thinking, or you haven't actually clicked it, or something's going on there. So I'll prompt a screen share, and we use we have accounts with join.me. There's another product that we've been using recently too. I think we're just still trying to figure out that screen sharing space, like making it really easy to spin one up like super quick and just jump into one. And then occasionally the phone can be a really good approach, I suppose. For folks who are it's clear they would prefer to talk on the phone about this stuff. I don't know why. I don't know if maybe they type like my dad and it takes them like a really long time to write an email, so I can see how that would be really frustrating. But they should just get dragon speech instead of like put their feet up and talk on the phone for a while. But we're working on it. There are absolutely times where the phone is like a really, really great tool. But we just, because of volume and such, I think tend to admit the fact that it's really not great for instantaneous support. It's great for let's schedule a chat later this week. You know, you want to get to know us or something, like, well, let's sit down and have a chat, but it's really not great for, okay, you're experiencing a problem right this second. Let's hop on a phone call of indeterminate length.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that screen sharing again. So join me just for everyone watching and listening. So join.me is really great. We use GoToMeeting if I need to spin something up, but that's a little overkill for that kind of thing. We just use it because we have an account and I can spin it up real easy. There's a good app called Firefly co-browsing. A little pricey, I think, which is what kind of kept us out of it. It's
that's what OLARC uses is Firefly.
Yeah, $25 a month per rep, just by itself, which is a lot when you've got, you know, free alternatives like appear.in or join.me, that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, co-browsing is great. I've also started using, and this is the worst named app ever. I think we've mentioned it before, but LiceCap to make your gifts and that kind of thing. I had a customer today who I could tell was kind of getting frustrated, and like I knew it was working right on my end. I knew it had in my head, I was convinced it had to be working right on her end. So I made a quick GIF and was like, hey, look, this is exactly what you need to be doing. This is exactly where you need to be clicking. It all animates so you can see exactly the steps you need to do it in. And after she saw it, she sent me back an email and was like, hey, look, this looks nothing like what I'm seeing at all in any way, shape, or form. And I was like, oh, so clear your browser. We're going to start back at step one, and then we'll see what happens. But yeah, any of those are good kind of alternatives. I'll put those in the show notes so everybody can try them out. The last thing I kind of want to talk about is, so after everything's done, you know, you've had that frustrating customer, you're finished, you fixed the problem, everything's good now. Is that kind of just it? You know, Chase Levinson, when you're in those chats with them, is there any other follow-up that you do or any kind of like any, I'm sorry for the frustration, like maybe a day later or anything like that?
I generally don't with live chat. That to me, it's just not really a medium that lends itself to follow-up well. I mean, I guess I could send an email later, but, you know, for me, when I use live chat, you know, once my issue is resolved, I don't really expect, I mean, other than maybe a request for feedback or something like that, I don't really expect to hear anything else. So usually I just try to make 100% sure that, you know, I've resolved their issue and that they don't have any other questions and that kind of thing before I, you know, even end the chat with them. And then, you know, just leave it at that.
What about you, Jeff? So after you get everything wrapped up, any, like, anything else after that initial, like, yay, glad we're fixed now?
I normally will let the ticket sit, but then I'll go and see if they left me any feedback in temper. Right, so sometimes what will happen is after the very first ticket, or like maybe second ticket where they really start to get frustrated, maybe they'll leave me negative feedback or sort of the like middle phase feedback. And what has happened multiple times, not to me, of course, I get nothing but frowny faces, but some folks on the team have seen someone leave a frown face, and then later they add another piece of feedback, which is a smiley face, and they say, like, you know, that was my bad, like, I didn't understand what, you know, Jordan was talking about, or that was my bad, I didn't, you know, I wasn't fully understanding the problem, or, you know, or maybe, like, provided great support, just doesn't have what I want, you know, that kind of thing, where they're having an emotional response, and so they left a really angry note the first time, but then, like, after some, you know, reflection and some calm reflection, I guess, that they tend to amend that, and that's really helpful. But if we see that maybe they left a frowny face and then another one later, saying, you know, they tried to fix the issue, but it still doesn't seem resolved, right? Then maybe they will, someone on the team will post that into our chat and say, like, hey, can somebody, like, escalate this for me, right? And, like, someone will follow up with that customer and say, like, hey, looks like you didn't have the best, you know, experience. Like, do you want to, you know, is there anything I can help with? And maybe even reopen a ticket with them. Sometimes that can just be really helpful.
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, watching those rating kind of apps like Temper just helps out. You get to see, because it's the same way with us, right? So I might see somebody that flatlines or frowns me or whatever, and then follow up with them a half day later or a day later, that kind of thing, and come to find out that it was all emotional, like you said. Like, I'll send an email saying, hey, was there anything else? Did I miss something? You know, I saw you've got the flatline going on. And they'll reply back with something like, no, it's all fixed now, and here's a smiley, everything's good, we love you, you love us, we're happy. So yeah, that's kind of what we do too. At that point
it's not, I just want to amend that to say that, like, it's not that we're obsessed with getting them to, I'm ridiculously happy and I can't wait to leave a smiley face, but it's that sometimes you might get the sense that they're resolving the ticket, but yet they're still unhappy. And I think because we have so many customers who they are a user of Wistia, but perhaps they are not the purchaser, they're not the purchase agent, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing we want is to be in like a go-to meeting. Sorry to trash go-to meeting, but like in a go-to meeting situation where there are so many people that use it and people do not love it. So making sure we fully understand what is making somebody upset to be using it is, like, really, really, really important.
Any other amendments, or is that it?
I got a whole bag of them, but I'll leave that for another show.
That's all the big stuff I had, the questions and all that I had for the show. Was there anything else either of you gents want to point out before we wrap this one up and put a nice bow on it?
I do think that we sometimes see, if we're having somebody who's writing like 10 to 15 emails in a single day, so they're not necessarily frustrated. They just are the type of person that, like, can't stop. So someone on my side is getting frustrated instead. It's just like, they keep responding to me and they want to ask me things. And it's like, you know, a quarter of my volume at this point is this one person. We might pass them off to a different agent, for lack of a better term, or a different person on the team. So, you know, if Jordan's been dealing with them, maybe Mercer will say, like, hey, this is Mercer jumping in. Like, you know, can you get me caught up on what your situation is? Because then you put them back in a talk to the duck situation, for lack of a better term, where they have to describe what the problem is. I don't know if you've ever, if everybody else has ever read that blog post.
Talk to the duck?
Yeah, let me, before we go, let me pull up the blog post.
I'm going to need the link to that one, because basically it sounds almost like a reset just with another person on the team.
It is like a reset, except that you get the, instead of saying what was the thing that we recommend, or what was the thing that we agree on, mm-hmm. it's can you restate your problem again? Because sometimes the reason why people get frustrated is someone wrote in, and a customer writes in, and somebody else responds to them. And let's say the person who wrote in has problem X and problem Z, and the person who responds only heard that problem X is the case, right? So they respond with an answer, and so now the person who's written in, their problem isn't fully resolved. And so they're frustrated about the fact that it isn't fully resolved. And Jordan or myself or whoever just keep kind of going, being like, "Oh, okay, like your problem solved." And the person's like, "No, what about this other problem?" And we just, for whatever reason, don't pick up on the fact that that's an issue. Sometimes having them restate the problem again can be really, really helpful. And I gotta find the.
I remember Rubber Ducks from UserConf this weekend, but I have a feeling it's something
different. Oh, wait. Maybe it's Talk to the Bear?
Talk to the Bear was a programming debugging kind of thing, like when a programmer runs into a problem, they'll explain it to the duck. Is that what you're talking?
That's it.
Okay.
It's like the same thing. Right. Where is this post? I got to find this post. But the basic idea of that is a guy kept walking into his manager's office and asking a question, and finally the manager said, like, tell your story to the duck or the bear or whatever animal. I think it was a duck. God, I think it's a duck. Anyway, guy turns to the duck and starts telling the story about what his problem is. He's like, hey, like, I have this issue. I don't really know how to solve it. And as he started describing it, he's like, oh, my God, I know what the answer is. And he, like, goes back and solves the problem. And so many times our customers have the exact same experience where they say it out loud again and they're like, oh, now I get it. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I feel like there's a bear in there somewhere too. I don't know how it's related, but I remember having
a bear, a duck bear. Maybe it's a platypus that's kind of like a duck plus a bear.
Yeah, I remember like in college we had a bear on the wall in one of my teaching classes, and like whenever we were stuck, we would explain it to the bear. Maybe it's pick your animal. I had the same thing that actually happened to me today with a customer who was having some trouble with the calendar inside Basecamp. And I was like, all right, well, it's working fine on my end. And like, can you explain exactly what you're trying to do? And as she explained it, you could see, like, she was one of those that just kind of wrote the email as it came to her. So about halfway through the email, the light bulb goes on and she just understood at that point. And you can see like the dot, dot, dot. Oh, I get it now, which was kind of cool. I think at the end of the day, like the resets that we talked about, the actually being able to visually see what they see using that co-browsing, that kind of thing, having them explain the problem again, just to make sure everyone's on the same page, you know, making sure everything's clear and concise and that everyone's on the same sheet, reading the same sheet of music, you know, that's what is going to be key to kind of diffusing the whole frustrating experience. You sent me a LiveJournal link? What?
I know, right? But it's the original story of this talk to the duck, or ask the duck, I should say.
Okay, so it's a duck in this story.
There's a duck in there.
Okay. Pick your bear. It's just whatever, like, animal, pick your bear. It's whatever animal you have laying around.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right, that's are we good?
We're ready. You ready?
I'm ready. Chase Livingston, you ready?
I think so.
All right, here we go.
It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy, so happy that we want to stand from the highest rooftop, stand from the highest mountain, and shout them out to let all of you know exactly what we love. There are lots of other things that we could call them, but we call them shout-outs because that's what we do. And if you haven't figured that out by episode 42, then yeah, that... Slow to the game. Jeff, what are you shouting out this week?
No, I'm lucky I get to go first because otherwise somebody's going to steal it. I'm actually going to shout out Carolyn this week. She gave a really, really great talk at UserConf. And I don't know. I was super impressed. I don't know. I thought that this year, I guess I do it twice a year, but... This this particular instance of UserConf 4 or whatever, had the best speakers, the best quality speakers to date, including another person on this Hangout. I won't say them by name, Chase Clemens. But I thought that Carolyn's was really excellent. So yeah, shouting her out. No. I don't have a link to the video, but I'm sure it'll come out at some point soon.
Yeah, I don't have a link to that either. I'm going to bug her and be like, hey, those notes, could you put up your notes or your slides or something to give us something to link to?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her talk was pretty awesome. She talked about what it was like for Buffer and the kind of the moment that their hack happened back in October, I think, of last year, and everything after that, days and weeks after that. I mean, they were still seeing fallout weeks after the initial hack. But yeah, if I can talk her into notes and that kind of thing, or as soon as the video comes online, I'll link that in the show notes. Chase Livingston, what are you shouting out?
I'm going to shout out Slack. It's a kind of a new group messaging app, a lot like IRC, and we've been trying it out at Automatic and are really enjoying it. And so if you're in the market for something like that, definitely check it out. They have the mobile apps are great. It's got a web app, desktop app, all that kind of good stuff. So take a look at it.
Chase, have you used HipChat?
Yeah, we tried HipChat, and for some reason it just didn't get the same adoption that Slack's got, and I don't really know why, but everybody at Automatic seems to really like Slack a lot better than they did HipChat. It's not a knock against HipChat, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, we use HipChat, and I just have yet to get a straight answer. The one of the answers I got from somebody about why we should switch to Slack is it supports Markdown.
Oh, I didn't even know it supported Markdown, so...
I was like, that's great. I love I do love Markdown, but I'm really not sure I need to switch my chat out.
Yeah, I would definitely not switch for Markdown support. That's a little... I don't type my chats in Markdown, so...
They're like, you can put code in it. I'm like, okay, let's look back at all the conversations we've put code in.
Yeah.
So you can understand how much better... Oh, wait, we've never had a chat, even in our engineering room, that had code in it?
Yeah.
So strange. Okay, let's keep going down the list. Oh, that's it? That's the only difference? Oh, all right, fine.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, we tried out, the Basecamp team tried out Slack and HipChat, and HipChat for us just, I don't know, it kind of felt like devoid of personality for some reason. It was just like a little offset. Like, it does the function that we need it to, right? So it does group chat, it does one-on-one chats as well. But at the end of the day, like, the emojis were a little weird. And it kind of like felt off. Whereas Slack, the first time I used it, it just kind of, it felt natural. And this sounds really dumb, but like when you first sign up for Slack, be it the account owner or somebody that gets invited to the account, like they have this little Slack bot that helps you set your name and set your photo and your title and all that kind of stuff. So like you're interacting with this app through their chat bot thing, Maduger, Slack bot. And it just, I don't know, it was like... I think Slack really excels on little details, whereas HipChat's kind of this just good corporate chat kind of feel. If that makes sense.
Does Slack bring back the like GitHub emojis, the ones from Fire too?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that might actually be enough for me to switch.
And you can do custom emojis as well.
Speaking of Markdown support, I just really want to bring back that good emoji set.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's one of the features that may have sold some of my fellow coworkers on it. Plus, the custom emojis are really cool. We have a bunch of people's faces in there as emojis now. So,
do they have the Livingston? Do they just have the beard?
No, I don't think I have my own emoji yet. So I need to work on that. But it would be kind of awkward if I created my own. So,
I'll just sneak in there.
Yeah. We'll invite you.
Perfect.
Just
okay, well, I'm convinced. I'm switching to Slack. See you guys.
Yeah, you should at least, I would say at least try it, right? Like, what's the harm in trying?
At the end so of the true. Well, there's a couple of guys on the team who have been trying to convince everyone to make the switch.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, we have enough to do in a day. I don't need to make a switch on a chat app. But if it brings back those good campfire emojis, I'm in.
Yeah, try it for, you know, I think we tried HipChat for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then we tried Slack for a week or two, that kind of thing. Like, give it some time.
And what did you settle on? What did Basecamp settle on?
Come back to Campfire at the end of the day.
What? Yeah. You guys have a secret Campfire server running somewhere?
Lots of people still use Campfire.
Oh, it's just not being still developed.
Right. I mean, but then again, it does everything that I need it to. So it's group chat.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Cool. All
right. So enough talk about chat apps. So I'm going to cheat a little bit with my shout out, and there's a couple of people involved and everything. As a global shout out, I'm going to go with Jeff and say UserConf too, because this UserConf Chicago 2014, whatever you want to call it, there were 16 speakers total, which sounds like a lot, but each speaker only had between 8 and 15 minutes. So there was like no diddly-daddling around. It was like, let's make my point, and here's some awesome like funny GIFs or videos or that kind of thing. And then you're off the stage. So that was a lot of fun. Big shout out to Sarah and Richie. Not Richie. He's going to kill me if he heard that. Rich. Oh, Rich, I hope you don't watch this. But Sarah and Rich,
sure.
both of them work really hard to pull that conference off, and they did a great job as always. And then, you know, I want to say, you know, a big shout out to Matthew from Campaign Monitor, who just his talk, and I'm going to link to it because he has some great notes and he put his slides in there too. Just really resonated. You know, he talked about how support is often seen as like you got to be a hero, like a support hero kind of thing. You've got to go above and beyond for every customer, and doing that over and over and over can get tiring, right? So he talked about the ways that Campaign Monitor basically automated an amazing support experience to where it might be just a push of a button for somebody on the Campaign Monitor team. And that one little button push just makes the world a difference for the customer. So it seems amazing for the customer, but it's really simple and really automated for the team. So it takes them from being kind of these heroes for every customer to being like, here's a solid support experience every single time, no matter who you talk to. So I'll link all those up in the show notes because I think they're awesome.
Can I just additionally shout out the Krista Collins talk? She is, I think, like, chief customer officer, VP of customer VP. Stuff. VP?
Yeah, VP of something.
Customer
Squarespace.
Something.
She's at Squarespace. She's the VP customer, whatever they call it.
Something things. Her talk. Yeah, her talk would have made Livingston cry.
It almost made me cry, and I'm pretty manly.
Yeah, exactly. Chase Kleiman's about as manly as they come. He was in tears on the floor.
There were sniffles all around me. And then the one guy going, be like, dude, you've got a beard. Why are you crying?
What? You're out of an Aquaman mug? What is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, this is so I'm at my house now, and this is not Aquaman. This is Captain America, and kind of the weirdest face that you've ever seen.
What's the weirdest face? And it looks like wings on the side of his head.
Yeah, well, I enjoy it, and it's a good coffee cup, so.
Nice. There's no red. How is that Captain America without any... Ah, forget it. This hangout's in the books.
It is. We'll have show notes up shortly for all of you that bailed on us 10 minutes ago. That's fine. That's cool. That's all right. Be that way. If you want to see my cool Captain America mug as I'm pulling it up here, you've got to watch the YouTube version to see that. Otherwise, thanks for sticking it through the rest of the show. We'll see you again next Monday. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks again and have an awesome week.
Did Captain America really have an A on his head?